If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
In just a minute, we'll visit with the Director of Communications at the Illinois Pork Association and our own Orion Samuelson. We'll talk. In fact, we can do that right now. Hey, O, are you over there?
I am here and ready to go.
We have been hearing you talk a lot about the pork producers and beef producers and the fact that while there's plenty of cows and plenty of pigs, is a pig the same as a hog, Orion?
Yes. It's
why are those interchangeable?
Hog is a mature pig.
Hog is a mature pig. So would the hog be one then that is ready for market?
Yes.
And you know, I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. How much, when the hog goes to market, how much does it normally weigh? What would be a weight for that?
Probably about 200 and up to 220 pounds. That's the ideal weight.
Right.
If they get heavier than that, then they don't make such good meat.
So what an adult male would weigh would be about what that pig would weigh when it goes to market. And
right.
It takes about 6 months for the pig to get to that weight and size. Is that about right?
That's about right.
And so you're having this pig and you're feeding him all of this food and you're raising him and giving him medicine or whatever it is you do to keep a hog healthy and well. And then it weighs about 200 pounds. Now's the time to go to market. If the pig got to 300 pounds, it would seem to me like you would have more pork chops. But that's not the way it works, right?
Well, yeah, you would have more meat, but it wouldn't be the quality that a 220-pound hog
really
would have, because that's the ideal weight to go to market.
So we've been hearing the stories about COVID-19 hitting some of these processing houses, and as a result, they've closed down or had to curtail business, and as a result, now you've got all of these pigs on the farm, got
right.
Nowhere to go. And if it's not of use to the farmer or, say, the consumer after 200 and some pounds, then what do we do? And in some states, I guess not Illinois so much, but Iowa, Minnesota for sure, they euthanize the animals. They have to put them down, literally put them in landfills like anything else. That's still just a stunning thing for me, O.
Well, it is for me, and I think it is for every pork producer, because when you put the time and the money and the products into that pig to make it quality for human consumption, and then you have to take it out and shoot it, and the Department of Agriculture has made arrangements where it can be done, because once you shoot the animal, what do you do with the carcass? You can't bury it in landfills, and so you have to find other ways to get rid of it. And Congressman Colin Peterson from Minnesota, who I've known for years, made arrangements with JBS USA plant in Minnesota to take hogs to euthanize, and that has helped.
Okay.
Because once you euthanize them, then what do you do with them?
It's amazing to me, though. I mean, pigs are different, of course, than, say, beans, but it's just amazing to me that, you know, be it the animal or the crop, it's there. People eat that, and because we can't get it from there to here, we have to destroy it. We have to turn the crops under or burn them, or we have to euthanize the animals, when, in fact, the animal is ready for consumption, and the crop is could be harvested, but because we don't have either the people to pick the crops or the plants to process the meat, we're literally destroying it.
It's wrong.
And it's beyond frustrating. I mean, it's maddening to think that we're missing some of those links in the chain right now. In the case of the crops, Orion, is
yes.
It that it's not people to pick it, or is it not people to process it or to truck it? Why are some of the crops being destroyed?
Because they're at maturity and they have to be harvested. And if there's no market, you know, with restaurants closed.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
All of that, we just don't have
the
demand.
Market. But right.
But let me say this quickly. I really don't appreciate the fact that supermarkets and grocery stores are putting limits on the number of meat packages or vegetables you can buy. Because when you start doing that, you start scaring consumers into believing there is a shortage, so I better go out and stock up on all I can get. To me, that just leads to hoarding, and hoarding has been one of the problems we've had.
So we're doing to meet what we did to toilet paper when the COVID crisis first broke out. It's sort of a self-imposed shortage, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But it affects all of us when hoarding starts, because that way we lose access to products that maybe could be shared with other people. Because at our house, my wife she buys meat as we need it and as we find it, like the 6 a.m. shopping hours at the supermarket.
Yeah.
And that we need to do. We don't need to hoard because, as I've said over and over and over, there is no food shortage in this country, but there is a labor shortage and there is a transportation shortage. And just another comment on the packing plant closures. I'm not a medical expert, but for some reason, the COVID-19 infestations at plants, I think, is higher than we find normally.
Oh, yeah.
And that's because of the way they have to work.
Sure.
I have gone through packing plants in my lifetime, and I would not want to work there. And I can understand employees saying, nope. There's too big a chance we'll get the Corona-19 and the coronavirus, and so we're not going to go to work. And I can understand that.
Jenny Jackson is the Director of Communications at the Illinois Pork Association, and we wanted to talk to her about her industry's take on all of this. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Jump into the conversation. That's me asking Orion just a bunch of basic questions. What else do you have to add to what you've heard so far?
First, I would just like to say how much we as an industry appreciate all of those food workers in the entire food supply chain. It takes so many people, and we're realizing that we were clearly too efficient to begin with, but we really can't live without these people who help get the food from the farm to the table. So I would just like to give a shout out to those people and let them know how much they are appreciated.
What do you mean too efficient to begin with?
Well, as you mentioned, you guys were talking about the packing plants being backed up due to fewer employees in the plants, and that's why we have seen an excess of hogs right now. Hogs grow really quickly, as we talked about yesterday. You know, they're ready in 6 months. So every day, even if one pig didn't get to be harvested, there's another one that's ready to be harvested. And so we have a continuing growth pattern of pigs, and right now we're just unable to process them as quickly.
You and I were talking about this yesterday. So if it's a meat packing plant, is that what you call it, where the hogs go to get processed?
Yes.
So if I have a contract to sell you my pigs, my hogs, and I'm going to be there Thursday the 9th at 4:30, whatever, if for some reason I can't be there, well, let's see, what would the issue be? Because you said it's very synchronized, right? Then there's a guy the next day and the next day and the next day, right?
Yes, they are very scheduled just like that. And also to meet the hourly requirement of the workers, most places run two shifts if they can. And so they have it perfectly scheduled to where pigs are continually coming in to fill that line to give those workers their job.
Right.
And so in our case, it's not a lack of pigs by any means. We have the pigs, we have a food supply, but unfortunately, some of our plants are not able to run at 100% capacity due to fewer workers right now.
Right, okay, so that's where I got lost. So, right, but it's not the supply, it's the people that can process them. So if you don't have enough workers to process them and you can't get to my stuff today, it's not like I can go tomorrow or the next day because there's somebody else in line. So at some point, you're going to have this overflow of hogs that you literally can't process. Is correct, Jenny?
Yes, that's exactly where we are. And you mentioned some other states that are doing worse than we are right now. I feel really fortunate in Illinois. Right now, all three of our major packing plants are back up and running. No, they're not at 100%, but it's better than nothing. And so we are getting some pigs moved finally, and we're seeing fewer numbers that are overflow than we had, say, a week ago when Smithfield and Monmouth was closed for 5 days. Things are getting better.
Our texts include these. John, I raised hogs for years. This is heartbreaking. Somebody else said pigs are bigger now. Most pigs are marketed at 280 to 290 pounds. Is that your understanding too, Jenny?
Yes, I would say the average is about 280 to 300 pounds these days.
Why can't they just sell the pig as is to other private parties, right? That's an interesting question. Like, okay, you got this pig, you can't process it there. Can't somebody else buy the pig? But I guess at the end of the day, that pig is valuable only as food. And if you can't process the pig as food, then I guess it's a worthless commodity all of a sudden. Is that a fair take on the situation, guys?
You have a very good point of view. Yep, and we as an association, we represent over 1,600 pig farmers in the state of Illinois. We're working really hard to find other avenues for people to sell their pigs. There has been such an excitement over locally grown pork that all of the local processors in our state and around the country are entirely booked, some as far out as December already. So, like I said, there's no shortage of meat. There might be a shift in where people are buying their meat. It's still safe. It's still nutritious. We're just finding different avenues and new people that are interested in buying pork, which is awesome for our industry.
Okay, so now you guys actually have, though, a program where people, it's a sort of a GoFundMe project to try and alleviate some of the problem here. Talk to me about that. And let's keep talking about this problem in a minute on WGN. 11:45 on WGN Radio. Thanks to Daniel Blank and Company, that place for kids with autism is really a unique entity, more needed now maybe than ever. And each day when we play that soft music, they remind you and me and everybody to just take a moment and take a breath and sort of reflect. So they said utility workers, they're out there every day today too. And maybe all of the people that supply food in our food chain, I would add that as well, as a big thanks, as a worthwhile moment of reflection. Your carpets, rugs, and upholstery are reservoirs for viruses and bacteria. Now's the time to professionally sanitize your carpeting, your rugs, your floors, your furniture. Call Executive Green Carpet Cleaning. Listen, some of us here at the radio station have either used their service or watched them in action. I went out and actually watched them do a house because I wanted to see what I was talking about. I don't have wall-to-wall carpeting. I don't have any laid carpeting at my house, but I wanted to see how they do what they do, and they really do it well. And right now, $139 for three rooms. Plus, in the rooms that they clean the carpeting and floors, they wipe down all of your high-touch all of your high-touch contact points with an EPA-registered disinfectant. They will wear masks in your home, and they take every measure to ensure the health and safety of your family. They provide a clean that no one else can deliver by scrubbing and extracting using the world's most powerful carpet cleaning machines. And they use ultra-purified deionized water that actually makes a difference in conjunction with safe detergent-free spray. By the way, after they then use that water and then they extract it, they pull it back up with their vacuums. They don't then just dump that into the sewer, into the yard, or into the street. They have another big tank that takes that water, and they safely dispose of that. They're really conscientious. And at $139, three rooms cleaned and wiped. Boy, you do want that right now, don't you? Executive Green Carpet Cleaning. Call 630-990-8600. 630-990-8600. Or visit executivegreencarpetcleaning.com. Orion Samuelson, our agribusiness director, is on a phone line. Jenny Jackson is the director of communications at the Illinois Pork Producers Association. We're talking about the fact that, as Orion likes to say, I think I know the line now, Orion, there's no food shortage. There's a, what's the end of that sentence, Orion? We have plenty of food. It's
the labor and the transportation to get it to the supermarket shelves. And I have a quick question for Jenny about the mental aspect of having to euthanize something that you put your heart and soul into working. Because I'm hearing from producers who are really troubled mentally by having to do that. And I'm just wondering what the Illinois pork producers are experiencing.
That's a really good point. We know that euthanization is the absolute last case scenario for farmers of any species, and we can't imagine having to go through that on our own. As I said, things are starting to get better in Illinois, and our outlook for depopulation is getting smaller and smaller, thankfully. We're working on collecting resources for that mental stability of farmers because we really want them to know how important their role is in the food industry, in the world, and that they are needed and much appreciated.
Well, ultimately, at the end of the day, the animal will be killed, but the pointlessness of the animal's existence and the farmer's effort is what's I guess, heartbreaking, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we want to eat these animals. They provide protein. People find the food delicious. So there's no problem with that. But if you go through the whole process and then we don't even consume it, well, then it is tragic on many levels. And I can see how that would be. As one of our texters said, heartbreaking. Guys, somebody said, is there any way to take these animals and turn them into pet food? Is that an option? Or I guess, would that still require processing, right?
Right. Yeah. And we just have the problem of people going to work where the coronavirus seems to be more prevalent because of their working conditions. They can't keep that 6-foot separation. And so that's what we're concerned about, is getting the people to the plants and encouraging them and getting them to do what has to be done. I've gone through packing plants in my days, and as I said, I wouldn't want to work in one because it's hard work, and now you add the COVID-19 to it, and it just complicates things.
What's this program that you all have then, the Pork Power Program, Jenny?
Yes, if at all possible, we want those pigs to be able to go into the food chain and provide pork for you and me and our families and everyone in the United States. Because of that, we started the Pork Power Program back in 2008. Since then, we have donated over 821,000 pounds of pork to local food banks, which is more than 2.7 million servings of food. Now more than ever, with people out of work and being home with their families and their kids who aren't in school, we know that more people are hungry, and we need to help them as our, you know, neighbors and do what we can. So as part of this program, anyone can donate monetary funds, and we will use that towards the processing of pork, the purchase of pork, the transportation and delivery to get this into our Illinois food banks.
So this program existed pre-COVID. That is, farmers were just donating some of their products, some of their hogs, to the needy. Is that right?
Absolutely. The program originated where farmers were able to donate their hogs. We would cover the cost of processing to get that to the food bank. It's absolutely out of the goodwill of the farmer's heart. And this started long before a COVID crisis. But now we're realizing more than ever how many consumers want to get involved and help support their local farmers. So we're refacing this so that consumers know they can participate in this. You don't have to have a pig to contribute to Pork Power. You can just contribute $5 or $10, and that's still going to get ground pork into food banks in Illinois and help our neighbors in need.
This doesn't alleviate, though, the processing problem we're having. It simply helps subsidize the generosity of some of these farmers who are struggling right now anyway, right?
That, and it's going to help get some pigs through processing that maybe wouldn't be able to be harvested.
So how do I make a donation, and is it $5, $10? How much are you asking for, Jenny?
You can give any amount that you wish. Go to ilpork.com, find the Pork Power slider on our homepage. You can read a little bit more about our program. Those who do donate over $15 will receive a T-shirt in response to your generosity through the Illinois Pork Producers Association. We just want to get the message out there that this is a way for consumers to help pig farmers who are really financially hurting. Besides the fact that processing plants aren't open right now, they're losing maybe more than $70 a head per day right now, and anything we can do to help keep them in business is our goal.
ilpork.com. Wait a minute, they're losing money on the pigs that are being processed?
Even if they can get them processed today, they're losing more than $70 a head.
Why is that?
All kinds of things. We had a glimmer of hope in 2020 that we were actually going to make a few dollars per head after we recovered from all of the tariff business in the past few years. And that was prior to March when the COVID outbreak happened. Now there's just an oversupply of food, with food service down 65%.
All right.
Those are businesses that weren't buying our pork. And so, like I said, there's no food shortage. We have plenty. It's just a process of the unable to process the food service stuff to retail to get it into the grocery store.
So let me see if I got this right. So we don't have cafeterias. We don't have restaurants buying the pork. But you've got all of this food in the supply chain. So you have an abundance of supply, but maybe a lower demand now because we aren't eating out like we used to. Maybe we're eating less pork. So the price goes down, and each pig that comes through represents a loss to the farmer?
You got it. And like Orion said earlier before I hopped on the call, it really pains me to see large grocery store chains putting limits on milk and meat products. because in all of our industries, there is no supply shortage, and we don't want consumers to think that. So I would really hope, I know lots of people have been working on it, and I don't know how successful we've been, but getting those limits removed so people can buy as many pork chops as they want to, especially because May is National Barbecue Month, and we want to get out there and grill and enjoy the sunshine.
May is National Barbecue Month. I guess we could grill out on our grills in the backyard, but that, for some reason, doesn't supplant the loss at the cafeterias and the restaurants, huh? I mean,
exactly.
What do I care where I eat the pork if I eat it at a restaurant or at my place? But if you take the restaurants out of the food chain, then suddenly it's less consumption, huh?
Yep, by 65% so far.
Holy cow.
And I have to add that the dairy farmer who sells milk every day, the biggest buyer of fluid milk in the U.S. is the National School Lunch Program. And, of course, the schools are shut down, the school lunch programs are not functioning.
But then I think, all right, but then, Mom, give the kid milk at home and have the same volume being consumed but at a different place. But I guess that doesn't happen. Does the government – so if they're losing money on every pig that comes through, even now, or maybe especially now – but you guys said even prior to this, does the government then subsidize them? Do they make them whole? Or, I mean, you can't stay in business if you're always losing money on the product. Does the government help them out then?
There is a government program. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
There have been a couple of programs implemented. The problem is that they aren't working out for livestock farmers. The fine print isn't allowing the right people to get help or get as much help as they need. No matter the size of the owner of the pigs, there are a multitude of family farmers connected to that one business, and we all need help we can get right now, and those programs just aren't going to cut it.
Well, so that was what 60 Minutes was reporting over the weekend. They said that some of the people that, quote-unquote, own farms or programs may have done so as an investment, and it may be multiple families or business people that, quote-unquote, owe these farms that then qualify for some of the checks the government is writing, but they don't have their fingernails dirty at all, and the money isn't getting to the right people. Is that what we're talking about here, Jenny?
I'm not sure I'm following you. For instance, a couple of the big companies, like, for instance, the Mashaw family in Illinois, it's a family-owned business. And although they may own the pigs that contract growers are raising in their barns and they're paying them rent and the ability to raise their pigs, if the Mashaw lose money, the little farmers still lose the money. If the Mashaws do get some help, then that help goes to the little farmers. We need everyone in this supply chain process. And because of the caps and the limits in these programs from USDA, they're barely touching the amount of debt that they're going to be in. And like I said, those programs just aren't going to cut it. We need more help for our farmers. We all need to eat at the end of the day.
We are fortunate as consumers in this country to have the abundance of food and the low price for food we have. Would you guys agree with me on that?
Absolutely. I would definitely agree with you because I remember vividly the first time I went to Moscow to take a look at the agricultural situation in Russia. That was several decades ago. But I saw a line of people outside a store, and it was people waiting for food. And when I got into the supermarket, or I should say the grocery store, the shelves were empty. They had nothing. Mm. And we have never experienced that, but we're challenged right now.
Okay. We're out of time. Oh, I want to say this then. Let's make sure we help Jenny out and the pork producers. ilpork.com, as in Illinois, ilpork.com. Is that right, Jenny?
You got it.
Okay. And that is a way to get the food processed and actually get it on shelves or to food bank programs, right?
Yes. We only give it to food banks in Illinois.
Got it. ilpork.com. Jenny, good luck to you all over there. Jenny Jackson with the Illinois Pork Producers. Let's visit again down the road and see how things are going, okay?
I'd love to.
Orion, you and I will continue to talk in the Wintrust Business Lunch. Fair enough?
Fair enough. I'm ready.
Okay, sir. It's 11:57, ilpork.com, WGN.